Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Intelligent Autonomy in Smart Cities and Smart Factories with 60 GHz MMWave Sensor. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Artem Arginsky with Texas Instruments. Artem is a leader in the marketing team for industrial MMWave sensors at Texas Instruments. He is responsible for marketing and product strategy to revolutionize how intelligent systems sense the world. Before joining Industrial MMWave Sensors, Artem has worked in business development and product marketing for TI's processors and DSPs. Artem holds a master's degree in electrical and computer engineering from Georgia Institute of Technology. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate today. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often. While you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind, we'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too. And one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you. This and all Open Systems Media webcasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. On to the presentation. Artem, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Hi, everybody. Today we'd like to talk to you about how our millimeter wave sensors are solving new critical problems in enabling smarter cities and smarter factories. When we take a look in recent years, the infrastructure around us has greatly improved in how intelligent it is and how many decisions they can make in an autonomous fashion. In the past, where something that was a simple on and off technology such as street lighting, where it would turn on in the darkness, now we want to turn it on when there's presence of people. In other applications, such as building automation, improvements in people counting are now enabling smarter HVAC systems that cannot be controlled without people in the room. In factory automations, as we look at forklifts and robotics, the factories are becoming more and more autonomous, requiring less intervention from humans in dangerous environments. All of these challenges require greater sensing needs as we look at automation. With this come even greater challenges when the sensing technologies are now have to interconnect among themselves and communicate closely to make greater decisions. In the past, these kind of technologies have generally either not communicated at all or only communicated through cloud services. Such cloud services are great for integrating aggregate intelligence among multiple sensors. For example, controlling multiple lights across neighborhoods to coordinate traffic, or optimize multi-robot operation to increase efficiency. Another example of this multi-sensor communication can be tracking building occupancy over time to decrease operating costs. This has worked well in the past, but as we introduce more and more sensors in the environment, it is important that these sensors are able to make their own decisions so that they operate even when the cloud is offline or communication with other sensors is not possible. For example, if we look at an intersection where cars may be stopping or people would be crossing, while it is helpful to track across the full area with multiple cars and multiple intersections, we do not want a single intersection to go down when that communication is not available. So it is important for these sensing technologies to integrate both the autonomy at the edge as well as the multi-sensor communication. If we look, for example, in a building where people may be using a conference room, when the Wi-Fi or other networking signals go down in the building, you still want to be able to adjust the temperature that is of the HVAC system. To do something like this, we now require having intelligent sensors. sensors that can solve industrial sensing challenges. We talked about more decision-making capabilities right there at the edge, but we also want to minimize false detection and false positives. This is important because as we are in a factory environment where there may be dangerous equipment, it is critical that detecting people versus other objects to stop the machinery from doing something dangerous. In other industrial applications, we need more precise measurement to maintain very accurate control of the systems. For example, in process manufacturing where we have different chemicals involved in the process, it's important that we can measure them and control the flow of them very accurately. All of this kind of sensing requires having a technology that is both able to sense very accurately and provide sufficient information for decision making. Millimeter wave sensors are key technology to solve these challenges, and over the next few slides, we'll see how they do so. So why 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors specifically? One is that 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors actually integrate processing capability directly on the chip, bringing that intelligence at the edge. Being able to take the information that is sensed by the sensing portion and process and extract useful information that can then be actionable. In addition to that, it can integrate the full processing stack, including even RF components such as antenna on package. These sensors are extremely accurate. They provide highest resolution in the industry, offering up to 4 gigahertz of ultra-wideband resolution, which will result in much denser sensing of the environment, being able to detect more points of the environment, more objects, and then having more of that information available for intelligent data extraction. This band is also widely available, so can be used in a number of different applications, such as smarter the factories, buildings, and cities that we looked in the previous slide. This is important as the sensing technologies need to be able to scale from being used in an outdoor environment, such as traffic monitoring, to indoor applications, such as security and people counting. All of this is available in 60 gigahertz versus other frequency bands that are generally restricted in how much they are allowed to be, how well they're allowed to be used in certain applications. Touching a little bit more on intelligent sensing at the edge. In the past, when we looked at RF sensors, they required a number of different components to create a complete system. Generally, you would have, as you can see in the picture on the left, a multi-PCB setup where there would be a separate receiver and transmitter powered by a separate platform, sending data to an ADC that would then process and extract useful information. This would require quite a lot of size and would restrict the applicability of the technology and deployability due to its size. With recent advances, we now have everything integrated into a single chip platform. We can provide both the sensing portions, the transmitter and the receiver, fully integrated with its processing capability to actually extract the useful information from the device. All of this then creates capability for real-time decision-making and processing all in a single device. We looked at it from a hardware perspective. When we look at it from a software perspective, by having everything integrated, we now have the intelligence of what data we want to extract from the environment. In the past, as I mentioned, each one of these rows would effectively be a different component on the PCB, doing different processing that requires synchronization and communication. With this, we're able to actually extract everything out of the data depending on the application. It can be as simple as extracting a point cloud information where you detect the range, velocity, and angle of every single object in the environment, but it can then be taken further through the integrated processing to extract higher level information, such as object tracking and classification. For example, in a people counting environment, you'd like to be able to tell where the people are moving, and whether it's a person moving around or another object such as a plant, a fan, curtains in the window, or any other movement that you may have in the system. That level of intelligence is what is available when everything is integrated into a single device with advanced capabilities. Traditionally, when we talk about millimeter wave technology and RF technology, even when you integrate all the components into a single chip, you still require an antenna development and design that would be created on a separate PCB here. This would result in larger footprint, but also require RF design expertise. By integrating antenna on package, we can actually reduce both of those aspects, reduce the complexity of the radio frequency design and simplify the manufacturing process that would be required, where in the past you would be using high-frequency material to generate the signal from the antennas. You can now use a basic FR4 PCB to create a very small footprint sensor that's easy to design and easy to use. With the antenna coming directly onto the package, we can see up to 75% smaller design than lower frequencies. When you look here on the 60 gigahertz platform, we're showing here a PCB that's a 55 by 55 millimeters that is effectively a wall-mounted sensor that's able to count people, it's able to attract robots in a factory, but it requires quite a large PCB. We can integrate all of that down to a single device that is only 15 by 15 millimeters, and is actually so small that you can't even see the antennas on them. But this allows you the same performance without having the same complexity or the issues with size. Having everything integrated is greatly important, but without having accurate sensing, it would be useless. So when we look at 60 gigahertz sensors, it's also very important that we can very accurately detect what is going on in the environment. So here we're actually taking a look at what 4 gigahertz of ultra-wide resolution allows you to do when using 60 gigahertz sensors. When we look at other competitions such as 250 megahertz in the 24 gigahertz band, which is what will be available to the market as we move forward, we see a significant reduction in how well we can sense the environment. So if you look at the top view here of the environment, I have two of my colleagues in a conference room walking around. In this particular view, they're standing very near each other with one person being behind the other. When we look at narrowband sensors that only have 250 megahertz bandwidth available, the information extracted from the environment is very sporadic. If you look by clustering of the reflections, it actually looks like there's three people back-to-back, not two. And the points of each person are so sparse that it's actually very difficult to say whether there is truly an object there or it's some kind of a noise or erroneous reflections. With the ultra-wide bandwidth of the 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors, we can see a much denser reflection cloud of each person in the second image. This allows the processing algorithm to extract and track these people separately without necessarily identifying them. When we look at the same view from the sensor direction, so as it faces head-on towards the people, this becomes even more apparent. As you look at the density cloud of the narrowband sensor, we see a lot of sparsity in the cloud. From the side, it even appears as a single person or object in the scene. When we look at the 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors in the second view, you can see a very dense, almost people-shaped view of each individual. This is because the 60 gigahertz sensors are actually able to get more of that information from the ultra-wide bandwidth, as well as detect height and angular position of the different reflections, giving you an image-like quality of what's in the scene. like to take a look at a very similar view from a different point in that experiment. In this point, the people are walking around in different directions, and they're about to cross over. And again, when we look at the top view of a 250 megahertz sensor, we see that there is a sparsity of those points that create a view of either three people moving around or potentially even four, as there's quite a bit of separation as the 250 megahertz is not just detecting the people, but because of its sparsity also picking up a lot of erroneous reflection from the walls and other objects in the scene. When you look down at the 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensor, again, you can see the density of the point cloud clustered together, creating a very clear image that there are two people in the scene. The same thing can be seen from the sensor view, and again, where you can barely tell if there's one or more people in the scene when you look from the narrow band, a direct head-on, versus the 60 gigahertz millimeter, where again, you see people-like shapes appear in the view. This kind of simplicity and accuracy of the sensor is what allows us to tackle the next generation of the industrial applications. So for example, we looked at the beginning on the different areas that the industrial markets cover. To summarize those, we looked at the building automation, things like people counting and tracking across multiple scenes where we need to accurately detect and localize them in this environment, to factory automation where we need autonomous operation, navigation of robotics and forklifts and other moving objects in the factory, as well as city automation where we're looking to intelligently structure the city infrastructure. Looking at this, in building automation, having this level of accuracy is very important as we want to be able to accurately control the environment that the people are in. This can be both for safety reasons as well as security reasons. By being able to accurately track people across the building, we can then be able to determine if there are people left in the room when there's a fire. We can track if there is a security concern. Maybe there are more people than expected in an environment, or there is an intrusion in an area where there are not supposed to be any people. The similar can then apply in factory automation, where you want to maintain the safety around different equipment or even collaborate between machines and the people in the environment. For example, if there is a welding machine currently operating, chances are you don't want to have people approach it. And so you can maintain a keep-out zone, a safety zone, where when somebody crosses into, the machine can slow down, turn off, or completely shut down the factory. So we can take that a step further with the intelligence that the sensors bring us. By being able to detect the environment so clearly and being able to detect information such as the position of the people and the velocity, we can now start to classify what type of objects are approaching the machine. For example, if a person is walking by from the side, chances are you can watch that and not slow down the machine until it gets a little too close. When something like a forklift moving much quicker approaches the robotic equipment, it's important that we grasp that and start to slow down the environment to protect the people that may be near those machines. The same can apply in city automation, where, for example, today in traffic monitoring, we want to bring bigger intelligence to alleviate the traffic problems in the cities. I'm sure many of you have had this happen to you, but you're driving down the street, it's completely open, you see the light, you know, it's 200 meters away, it's all green, you feel good. As soon as you get to it, it turns red, and you have to stop. Well, you look around, there's nobody coming from the other direction. You just sit there at the light waiting for it to switch. Well, that's because the sensors today are not intelligent enough to make that decision that, hey, there's a car that's actually on the approach, there's nobody in other directions, why don't we keep the green light a little bit longer? right? This kind of city automation is important as cities are becoming more dense and more automated. We want to make sure that that intelligence is applied to reduce congestion and to improve the quality of life for people. All of this is a reality now. These 60 gigahertz sensors are actually capable of solving these problems today, and we have created a number of demonstrators to actually approach and solve these problems right out of the gate. So with the 60 gigahertz sensor, it requires both the software and the hardware capability. The hardware capability is well taken care of by having the antenna on package integration. The software capabilities are then expanded by these demonstrators that solve real-world problems using the onboard processing capability. So when we look into building automation, we talked about needing to track people. That's one of the most common use cases in building automation. We want to respond to the behavior of people. But that comes with a couple of challenges. One is we want to maintain privacy, where we are extracting aggregate information about the environment, but we are not necessarily attaching telemetrics to specific people. We want to know the behavior of how everything moved around, but not attached to the person. Well, millimeter wave technology is not light-based, so you're actually not getting a true image of a person. You're getting a fundamental view of how they moved around and tracked without attaching an identity to them. This becomes important as we start talking about people tracking conference rooms, hallways, and other areas where people may expect privacy. With this demonstrator, we're actually able to track many people in a different environment, starting from something like a conference room in a 6x6 meter space to a medium range configuration like a hallway or a larger conference room or a big auditorium with up to 14-meter by 14-meter space. And the way this is done is by actually taking one of these 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors and mounting them on the wall, just like you would with a camera. With this, we can then track the people as they move around. And again, with the range resolution that's provided by these sensors, what enables us to so finely track the people in the environment, as when people move around, they are moving around in smaller movements than maybe something like a car or a factory machine would be. This small movement is important in tracking people because on top of just tracking the environment, a lot of times you want to extract a little bit more useful information, such as getting more of the vital signs or similar small motion in the environment. So, for example, in an elderly home care where we want to track how an elderly person moves around while maintaining their privacy, we may also want to be able to track their vital signs to provide that useful information on how they're doing without interfering with their autonomy or interfering with their privacy. All of this is enabled by demonstrators such as this with the wall-mounted application. If we take a look on the right middle box there, you can see a couple of images of how the environment is tracked. For each person, there's effectively a cluster of points, which is then tracked as a person. We can then add additional intelligence of saying, hey, does this movement look like a person, or does it look like an inanimate object, such as a fan or a curtain, or other moving objects you commonly will see in building environments. This intelligence is extracted by, again, having that accurate assessment of the environment and then having the processing capability to actually notice those patterns. Well, in a lot of building applications, it's also important to be able to mount sensors in ceilings. Because in ceiling applications, you generally have better access to interconnectivity between the environment. You may have power lines, you may have communication lines running through drop ceilings in buildings. Millimeter wave is a very flexible technology. It can be configured to operate in many different environments with simple reconfiguration of the software or a different antenna configuration, depending on the application requirements. By mounting something like this on a ceiling, you can then start to extract additional useful information, such as height. This can be useful when you want to detect if somebody's fallen down. So in this demonstrator, we are adding ability to detect whether a person is sitting, standing, or laying down in an environment. This, again, can be useful from a hospital perspective or an elderly care perspective where you don't want to invade the privacy, but you want to be able to tell, hey, that person has fallen down, and now we can measure their vital signs to tell if they're doing okay, they need immediate care, how long have they been on the ground. This can then be expanded even further because millimeter wave allows is able to operate in difficult environments such as smoke, fog, and other vision-obstructed environments. This can be important, again, in fire safety application and security, where you want to know if there are people left in different rooms and whether they're breathing, whether their heart rate is okay. All that information can be extracted without having any concerns for vision-based applications. A camera would have much more difficult time when there's smoke present in the environment. It can also be important to even adjust to where the cameras are pointed or guide a firefighter. For example, the sensor could adjust and tell you which direction the people are and then help you navigate to that environment. With the overhead view sensing, we can then add that height information in more detail and extract that additional information about the people in the environment. Okay. We talked a little bit about how the applicability of technology is very flexible. Well, we looked especially in building automation on the indoor applications, but the outdoor applications are just as important. But the main difference between an outdoor and indoor application is how far you want to see people and objects in the scene. In the indoor applications, you typically have environments that are 10 to 20 meters max distance. Here we're talking about a perimeter that can easily be 50 meters away. And in that kind of environment, there may be different kinds of objects available that may be a distraction to the sensor. For example, you could see cars, you could see trees moving around. And when you want to extract just the people, you want a sensor that has that density of information that can be leveraged for classification of the object. By setting this sensor outside, we can actually configure it to operate at over 50-meter range and be able to track a person who is walking very slowly in an environment where you have other high-speed movement like car or tree. This is important in security applications where we want to be able to track an intruder from far away and, again, track them before it becomes a problem. The same tracking from far away and extracting information is important when we start to look at a factory automation application. An area scanner or a safety zone where we want to keep out a person from a dangerous area or be able to trigger a certain automation based on how close they approach. This can be, as I mentioned before, a person approaching a machine slowly. It's probably as expected of an operator coming close to a human-machine interface, versus a forklifter that's run away and moving very quickly towards the equipment. By setting these areas of keep out, we can then intelligently determine how the environment behaves and what actions to be taken. And with that intelligence, all of that action can be taken directly at the machine. This is important in a safety-like environment because you want to be able to make the decision individually without necessarily having to communicate and interconnect with other equipment. Because in that moment, real-time decision-making is very critical. So by applying the same intelligence that we did in building automation, we can create an image of the environment and extract what we're tracking. If we care more about people, we can use that information to identify and classify that it's a person. If we care about a larger machine like a forklift, we can also do that. We can then also extract information about static objects. For example, if there's a post near the machine that's always there, you probably don't want to trigger every time the sensor detects a reflection from it. But you do want to detect a reflection when a person walks around that pole and suddenly appears in the scene. That is important, and that intelligence is extracted. These demonstrators are all built on the same platform with the same software. They can then be applied in different environments. Another environment where we see a lot of applicability that we talked to at the beginning is traffic monitoring. It's important for city congestion and control to know how the cars are behaving on the roads, where the flow of traffic is going, and how dense the flow is. Today, these problems are solved by quote-unquote dumber technologies that are very simplistic. It's an on-off switch. There's either a presence of the light or there is no presence of the light without the ability to extract any more useful information. This can be as simple as a coil in the ground that can detect that there's a car sitting on top, but then have problems if there's a motorcycle or a pedestrian crossing the street. It can be also a problem, as I mentioned, when you're approaching from far away and you haven't been over the coil yet and the light changes, even though the traffic flow should imply otherwise. By using millimeter wave technology, we can extract that information about the cars on the approach from far away up to 200 meters away and be able to tell, hey, there's a flow of traffic coming from that direction, and we need to focus and make sure that we maintain the flow across the traffic light. The nice thing about all of these demonstrators, they're actually built on the same software platform. So the traffic monitoring example is really a retuning of the outdoor people counting. Where we want to track the long-distance objects, it's really about configuring the sensor to what type of objects you want to track. In the traffic monitoring example, we configure it to track cars and objects similar to cars. In the people counting, we configure it to tracking people. That kind of flexibility is what enables these intelligent sensors to now revolutionize the market and open up new applications that couldn't previously be solved in city, factory, and building automation. So in summary, when we look at what the 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors bring to the table to create a more intelligent world and allow decision-making at the edge, one is that intelligent sensing, being able to detect objects and then actually extract additional useful information out of the environment. It's not simply saying, hey, we detected something in the corner of the room. You can now say, hey, we detected a person that's fallen down in the corner of the room, and hey, their heart rate is quickly dropping. We need to call the ambulance immediately, right? It can be detecting, hey, there's somebody left in the room during a fire, and it's not just another table or a chair, but we can actually detect a person in the room that we need to go and save. That kind of intelligence, that ability, is what 60 gigahertz brings to the table in the new autonomy world. This can then be even further simplified by having the antenna on package. So now you have the full digital integration as well as the full analog RF integrations for an easy-to-use, easy-to-develop sensor. The highest resolution performance of the 60 gigahertz sensors is a critical attribute because it's important that the information you're using to make your intelligent decisions is accurate. Your decision can only be as good as the data that is driving it. And so it is important that the sensor is actually detected very accurately. And that is achieved by using the wider bandwidth available to the 60 gigahertz platform. This can make a difference, as we saw in previous slides, between saying there's two people next to each other or ambiguously not knowing if it's one, two, or three people because your environment detection is so sparse. This ban also then enables the next generation industrial applications because of its open nature. Many other bans are restricted in how they can be applied and how they can be used. When we look at 24 gigahertz or some of the lower frequencies, there are regulatory restrictions on how much bandwidth is allowed to be used for certain applications, which then reduces your accuracy capability. 60 gigahertz is centered around ISM band that is broadly available and actually can allow the full 4 gigahertz performance of the sensor. This will result in higher accuracy and better decision-making while serving all regions of the world in a variety of applications. All of this is now a reality. It's not just a pipe dream that there will be one day sensors that are capable of doing all of this intelligent sensing and decision-making in an integrated package. The reality in the future is here today. This technology is available now and can be studied on ti.com/IWR with the new product in the 60 gigahertz space, the IW6843. This product integrates everything we talked about today from the RF chain down to the processing and the useful information extraction, all integrated into a single package with options of integrated antenna on package. To get started quickly with this technology, there's evaluation modules that run all the various demonstrators that we talked about to solve real-world challenges facing us today, as well as all the technical documentation and tools and software that we require to create a successful sensor. With that, Kurt, I'd like to pass it back to you.
Great. Thanks, Artem. That's a great presentation. We are now to the Q&A part of the presentation. I want to remind our audience to continue to ask questions throughout the Q&A. We've got some good ones coming, but we'd like to see some more as well. Let's start with this one. So 60 gigahertz versus 77 gigahertz sensors. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages and disadvantages of those?
Sure, absolutely. 77 gigahertz is a common frequency band that I think a lot of people know because of autonomous driving. This is where cars are moving to, creating an autonomous vehicle and a safe vehicle. So they use 77 gigahertz. It's a great band, but it is restricted in how many applications can be used for. It's really only allowed in applications that are car-related. So while they solve similar problems, a 60 gigahertz band, it only allows to solve those problems related to cars. 60 gigahertz band, on the other hand, allows you to use it in any application so that it can be applied in infrastructure and not just cars.
Got it. Okay. Great. So let's see here. Here's a good question, but it's kind of technical, I think. So how do you solve channel variation or sensitivity to objects like non-line of sight links? Are there any considerations with respect to that?
So there's a few different approaches. I'll tackle what I know, and I think we can follow up with a bit of our engineering stuff as well. But because of the configurability of the device, you can actually operate alternating modes with different sensitivity. So for example, in an environment where I want to detect both a person and a car at different lengths, the person nearby and a car far away, I could operate the device in alternating configuration very quickly with that different adjusted sensitivity, effectively stitching together a more complete image over those quick subframes. So, for example, I would take a frame that takes a person detection at short range and then a frame, subframe that detects a car and combine into a single frame.
Got it. Okay, great. Wow, we have a lot of really good questions from, this appears to be a machine learner. The question is there an API support for ROC AUC configuration to limit false positives and false negatives. For those that are not familiar with ROC and AUC, I believe it's a machine learning kind of thing that plots a curve on false positives versus true or false negatives and false positives to kind of figure out the accuracy of the sensor. Is there configuration capabilities for this to train it, in a sense?
So the millimeter wave sensors themselves do not have such API integrated today, but at TI we do provide additional more capable processors to do machine learning that integrate a lot of the API available there. I can't speak directly to ROC and AUC, but as a follow-up, we can definitely take a look there. But our Sitara line of processors do tackle the machine learning aspects, and we actually integrate the sensor and the processor together in a two-chip configuration where the sensors are then feeding that information into the processor to do the machine learning and then configure the sensor back based on those parameters. And that's actually how we do classification of people versus other objects.
Okay. So I guess that's another important consideration is the end-to-end integration of this stuff so it makes the machine learning and training kinds of components that might need to be developed for specific application pretty easy to do then. let's see. Any application or team who use 60 gigahertz for indoor positioning of robots with centimeter level accuracy, similar to GPS for indoors? Any applications like that?
So there's definitely applications like that, but generally the sensors would be actually mounted on the robots themselves to then get the accuracy off their own position with that centimeter level of accuracy. We've actually created a demonstrator for that that uses a TurtleBot application. So if folks on the line are not familiar, it's a development platform for robotics that integrates all the different capabilities of a robot, such as navigation, which can plug in with the 60 gigahertz sensors to position themselves in the environment.
Okay. Here's another great question regarding fluid levels in tanks tanks with maybe objects that are filling up. I guess it's going to depend on the tank and what the sensor can do, but are there any applications on along that, like measuring static things inside a container is what the question's asking.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually one of the what we call the bread and butter of the millimeter wave technology. Sensing a level of fluids or solids inside a tank down to even sub-millimeter accuracy is a very common use case for these sensors. And because these sensors have this wide bandwidth, you actually can do that in a tank that's a bit more complex than just simply enclosed walls. It can be a tank that has an agitator or heating elements or a ladder inside that would typically be a problem of reflections. By having all this additional information, you can then extract what is the true level of surface of what you're measuring versus the obstructions inside the tank.
Oh, okay. Great. There's a question that I want to expand on a little bit. Can the sensor connect to the cloud? If yes, which ones, like AWS, Azure, or IBM? You touched on this a little bit earlier. Maybe you can talk about the end-to-end integration in terms of gateways to the cloud for easy IoT system integration.
Yeah, absolutely. So the sensors themselves today do not integrate communication capability. What they rely on is a companion device that you have the flexibility of what type of communication you leverage. At TI, we leverage our simple link portfolio to integrate, for example, Wi-Fi or sub-gigahertz or other communication stack with our device through something like a UART or a SPI interface between the two chips. Mm-hmm. The communication chips themselves then support all the common IoT platforms that are available in the industry. By having this separation between sensing and communication, we can focus on creating each individual component to its best capability. Let the sensor extract all the useful information, and then you have the flexibility of a different communication path depending on your application requirements.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Environmental specs. So, do you have different ruggedized versions for outdoor use, factory conditions, those kinds of things?
Sure. So, the sensors themselves are effectively an integrated circuit IC that is placed on a PCB. It can then be enclosed in a number of different ruggedized enclosures to solve the outdoor use case. What's unique about millimeter wave versus a lot of other sensors, such as cameras or ultrasound or PIR, you would need a different enclosure over the sensing element so that the transmission can actually penetrate the material. That creates essentially a multi-package design that has to be tightly enclosed to withstand outdoor environment. With millimeter wave sensors, they're able to see through materials with the exception of metal. So something like a ruggedized plastic enclosure can be created in a unibody way where there are no openings at all and enable a very ruggedized outdoor application.
Okay, great. I'm going to combine a couple of these questions. There's some questions coming in about asking about applications for cars and people or factory automation applications or monitoring demos that you may have done. What's available for, like, evaluation or prototyping in terms of applications?
So today we have three main focus available for evaluation. One is people tracking and building automation-related applications. We talked a few, such as wall mounting and ceiling mounting. All of that is available. We then have similar applications in factory automation for safety areas and keep-out zones. And then the third one is traffic monitoring, where we want to track cars in various environments. Those today are somewhat standalone applications, but we're actually working on new demos that take multiple of these configurations and recombining. For example, in a factory automation, being able to have a keep-out zone, but at the same time, be able to measure vital signs of an operator, right? So you want to be able to track whether they're falling asleep at the wheel or not, and similar application.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Here's a question regarding to support for customers with functional safety needs or compliance requirements, like driver assist designs, medical applications, kinds of applications that are really safety critical and a high cost of failure.
Yeah, absolutely. Those kind of applications definitely require a next level of accuracy, and that's what our sensors bring to the table. Particularly for our safety applications, we are also evaluating bringing standardized still applicability of our sensors to the market over time. So we're fully committed to this technology being used in accurate environments where accuracy is absolutely a critical path to security and safety.
Sure. Okay, great. There is a question, a couple of them, regarding recorded versions of this webinar. I do want to say at the end, we will be giving you that, so you will have access to the entire webinar afterwards. What about, there's a question about algorithms and which algorithms are open source. Do you have access to the algorithms? Can you load these sensors with customizable things, or how does that work?
Absolutely. So actually, everything we talked about today and everything that's available on TI.com for these sensors are completely open source. So if you go to that TI.com/IWR, all the different things we talked about today have code bases available to download, program it to the device, and get started with today.
Okay. How about, let's see, there's a kind of a techno procurement accessibility issue. So in terms of procuring the devices for factory automation or academic research, for a warehousing system, and they mention the TI-TI DEP devices, How do you go through the procurement? Can you get evaluation parts? Do you have maker boards? How might that work?
Absolutely. So the evaluation kits that I mentioned here are available on TI.com. So if you go to TI.com/IWR link that I mentioned earlier, there will be a tab with evaluation modules and tools available. Through there, all of these tools can be ordered as well as samples. So regardless of whether this is an evaluation or a full product design, all of that is available to order right now on TI.com. We do not restrict, based on the application or who wants to order these. It's a fully available technology that can be procured directly through TI.com in sampling quantities and, of course, through our distribution and production volumes.
Okay. Here's a question relating to if you have any, if you can address any challenges or provide any insights if they are considering deploying various sensors within a factory environment. I guess, in terms of there's a lot of moving things going on in a factory, ruggedization plays a part, environmental. Maybe you can just kind of list things they should consider as they're trying to get started with this.
Sure, absolutely. I think in a factory automation-like environment, the biggest challenge you're going to have is the environmental condition. One, of course, is things like dust, potential smoke, fog, things of that nature, which the sensor is naturally agnostic to. But there is a lot of things going on in a factory. There's going to be a lot of objects. There's going to be a lot of metal objects, which are typically very reflective. So it's important consideration of how you mount these sensors. The most common application we see is at the source, where you want to mount directly on the robot, directly on a moving object, so that the object itself can maintain its own safety environment, or mounting in an overhead-like fashion where you have a complete view of the factory unobstructed by other potential objects getting in front of the sensor that could block its view.
I see. Okay, so placement's important, consideration of the environmentals and that kind of thing. So, good. Let's see. Personal privacy. So, do you have any thoughts or perspective on how personal privacy can be protected?
Absolutely. That's actually a really great question. Personal privacy protection with these sensors is actually one of the most critical pieces of advantage that they bring to the table. Because the millimeter wave sensor senses by sending out an RF signal and receiving that data back, it doesn't create a visual image equivalent to a camera. So it's not light-based, so you're not getting a representation of a person's face or a snapshot of how they look. What you're getting back is a coarse response of their reflections to the RF, which really look like a cluster of dots. And that cluster of dots is going to look like any other cluster of dots. So in that case, you won't be able to say, hey, that's Jim or Bob. What you'll be able to say is there are two clusters that are moving like a person would, meaning their velocities, their type of motion is similar to a person versus, forklift or something bigger. And just be able to extract by that level of detail versus by extracting individual features like you can with a visual technology like cameras.
I see. And I guess that kind of leads to another question relating to machine movement versus people movement. If you can talk a little bit about how the part differentiates those. They're talking about some of their robotics, move pretty smoothly and human-like, so they were wondering how the sensor differentiates that.
Absolutely. So there's some basic ways that you can differentiate between the movement of the object. One is simply on the velocity, right? If you're in an environment where things are moving faster than people, you can easily determine by that. But a lot of times that's not enough because maybe a person is running and it may look like a forklift, or a forklift is slowing down and moving very slowly, so it looks like a person walking. that would typically be an issue if the sensor only worked in velocity space and the Doppler space. But because we can also detect the cluster of points and the velocity of the movement, you cannot get more intelligent information. When a person walks, their whole cluster actually doesn't move at the each point in the cluster doesn't move at the same velocity. There's actually a repeating cadence to the legs walking and the chest movement as you walk around. And so you actually gain a slightly different velocity response over time versus a machine that's moving. And so by taking that information, you can extract that, hey, that's an object like a forklift versus, hey, this is a person.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I want to remind the audience, you can still ask questions. We have a few minutes left here, so please go ahead and continue to submit these excellent questions. A couple of questions that are related. With so many active sensors being added to the infrastructure, is there concern about interference?
That's another great question. Absolutely. That is something that everybody's concerned once you start to overload the environment with active sensors. But these were actually by design taking that into consideration. So when we look at millimeter wave sensors, what they actually do is they transmit a chirp into the scene and read back the reflection. That chirp is very quick, so you get natural mitigation to the interference because two chirping sensors are very unlikely to have identical chirps happening at the identical time. So there is natural mitigation that comes from the technology. But we took that a step further. We actually integrated digital modulation into the signal itself, where you can effectively encode a signal saying, this is from this specific sensor. So when I read back the signals, I can know that that's not from my sensor. I can ignore.
Got it. And then I guess the second question does try to delve down into this about, what are the limits? I guess there really are no limits to the number of sensors you can have deployed in a place.
So quite honestly, I will say we have not reached that limit. Where we see a problem. If you look at where the technology fundamentally came from, it first applicability was for autonomous driving. So you can imagine cars are going to deploy 12 or more of these sensors sitting around the car in a very dense city environment. You can imagine how many cars are in that area, and they're expected to still behave properly. So this technology has actually been already vetted by a very large industry where it's going to be quite dense. And probably even denser than a building automation would be in terms of the number of sensors. So we don't see a lot of issue in, you know, how many sensors you would deploy in a standard environment like a building or a factory.
Okay, great. There was a question about what the focus might be in terms. You mentioned traffic monitoring. Is there a focus on short range applications? And maybe you can talk a little bit about some examples.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, people tracking can be considered a short-range application. You know, if you're sitting in an office and you want to use millimeter wave for motion detection, right, to replace a PIR sensor that constantly turns the lights off while you type in the computer because it's not sensitive enough, you know, that environment is maybe, you know, you might be only a meter or two away from the sensor or even less than that. A robot moving on the factory floor needs to be able to detect something right in front of it a few centimeters away. All of that is still capable here with this technology. All it does is require different configuration on how the sensor operates, whether you configure it to be in a long-range type mode where you extract information from far away or short-range mode where you would be extracting information locally.
Got it. Okay. Great. Unfortunately, I think we've run out of time. There were some questions about websites, sharing those kinds of things. I'm sure that TI will follow up with you individually to get that information. And I think in the presentation, there's also some URLs that were shared. Want to thank Artem for sharing your insights on smart city and factory intelligent autonomy with 60 gigahertz millimeter wave sensors. We at Open Systems Media and Texas Instruments want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing excellent questions. This webcast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours. An audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media webcasts available for download there as MP3s. Open Systems Media webcasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.